Evening. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, your FibroDoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me for my Tuesday night Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. I look forward to your questions this evening. Tonight I'm going to be sharing information that I hope will help you in your quest to feel good again. A little bit about me. I'm a board-certified chiropractic physician, board-certified nutritional specialist. I've been in private practice for 26 years. For the last 19 years, I've specialized in fibromyalgia. For a number of years, I owned a very large integrative medical practice on the campus of Brookwood Hospital here in Birmingham, Alabama. I sold that medical practice in 2003, and for the last 7 years or so, my practice has evolved to where I do mostly phone consults, and I get to work with patients literally all over the world. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing information, the three most important things you can do to help to dramatically increase your energy. You know, I hear this quite often from my fibromyalgia patients is that the pain can be unbearable at times. We know that. But they oftentimes will say that if they could just have more energy, they could deal with the pain. And so I think we want to focus tonight on really things that you can do to increase your energy. Now, I'm going to be talking to you about some things you can do to reduce your pain as well. And I would encourage you, if you don't have what right now, I would get a pen and a pad of paper, because I'm going to be sharing with you tonight some very detailed information that if you will apply it, if you will get it, you will see that your symptoms of fibromyalgia will greatly improve, including your energy and your pain levels. So, again, if you don't have a pen and a pad of paper, I encourage you definitely to get one. You're going to want to take notes. I encourage you to turn off your, you know, your computer, your Facebook. I would encourage you tonight of all nights to give me your undivided attention, because the stuff that I'm going to be sharing with you tonight could be very life-changing for you tonight. That's how important I think this information is. Now, granted, a lot of this comes out of my book, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, available at Amazon.com. That's now in its fifth edition. But I'm going to be going to some of the behind-the-scenes things that you may not even be able to grasp in the book, some of the stuff that I see in my day-to-day practice, working with patients by phone throughout the world at this point. So the first thing you need to realize is that if you don't get deep restorative sleep, you're never going to feel good. And for those of you who have heard these conferences, which I give every Tuesday night, same calling number, same access code, you know how much emphasis I put on deep restorative sleep. And I have to, because obviously if you're not getting deep restful sleep, you're not going to feel good the next day. Obviously you're not going to have any energy. But here's the thing about deep sleep. We know that deep restorative sleep is crucial, because poor sleep has been linked to all sorts of different health problems, including depression, anxiety, fatigue, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, headaches, migraines, irritable bowel, weight gain, low thyroid function, stress to the adrenal glands. One study showed that college students who were prevented from going into deep restorative sleep for a period of a week, they developed all the symptoms associated with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. Diffuse aching muscle pain, fatigue, depression, anxiety, irritable bowel, stomach issues, headaches. So, you know, poor sleep leads to an increase of a certain hormone called substance P. And when substance P is elevated, it reduces your pain threshold. So pain is magnified. We know that through research, sleep deprivation markedly increases pain-causing chemicals by 40%. So you've got to get deep restorative sleep. If you're not, not only are you going to be tired the next day, but that leads to more pain-causing chemicals being released in your body. And we know that, unfortunately, many of the sleep medications out there have potential side effects. So you may be taking some of these, Ambien, Elavil, Flexeril, Trazodone, Lonesta. All of these medications have potential side effects. They can cause fatigue, drowsiness the next day. The tricyclic antidepressants like Elavil and Trazodone and Doxepin, those can cause tics or shakes. They cause muscle stiffness, depression. Ambien
has all the potential side effects of what you would see in fibromyalgia. So it can cause flu-like symptoms, including achy pain, fatigue, brain fog. What does that sound like? That sounds just like fibromyalgia. So oftentimes, patients are taking so many medications, half a dozen to a dozen medications, to treat every symptom that they have, that they don't know whether the medications are helping or hurting. They don't know if some of the potential side effects that they might be having from these medications actually are the symptoms they're experiencing. So it could be that the Ambien is causing some of your achy pain. It could be, and probably is, that the Ambien is causing some of that brain fog. Now, granted, you can have all sorts of symptoms show up from all different kind of medications. And so what I would encourage you to do is to look up every one of your medications and see what the potential side effects are. And then work with your doctor to see, can you wean off some of these medications and see, number one, do they make any difference? Most of the time with my patients, when they start working with me, they're on oftentimes a dozen drugs. And by the time I work with them over a period of time, I get them off 99% of those medications. And they don't, because they don't need them. They're doing so much better. So these medications also cause more problems. Other sleep medications like Xanax and Restoril, Ativan, Valium, Klonopin, these medications do not put you into deep restorative sleep. Now, they knock you out, so you're knocked out, but you don't wake up the next day refreshed. And those medications can cause all sorts of potential side effects, including anxiety and depression, insomnia, because they actually deplete your natural sleep hormone, melatonin. They can become, you can become addicted to those medications within 2 weeks to where you find you can't even get off of them. They can cause achy pain. They can cause brain fog, hallucinations, all sorts of things that they can cause that you may not even know. Now, again, I would encourage you, if you're taking these medications or any medications, to look up the potential side effects of your medication so you'll be informed to know if the medications that you're taking are actually killing some of your, causing some of your fibromyalgia symptoms. Well, I like to use this analogy. I think it really resonates with people. They really get it, and hope you will. But we're all born with a stress coping savings account. And in this stress coping savings account, we have certain chemicals that allow us to deal with stress. So we have serotonin, which is a brain chemical, our happy hormone, dopamine, norepinephrine, other, these are other brain chemicals. And we have DHEA, and we have vitamins like magnesium and B6 and B2 and other vitamins and minerals that allow us to deal with stress. And all day long, we're under stress. So when we get under stress, whether that's a traffic jam or poor sleep or chronic illness or pollution or long work hours or an unhappy marriage or unhappy day at the job or unhappy years at the job, whatever it is, those stressors, we have to acknowledge them. We have to try to combat them. And we do that by releasing our stress coping chemicals from our stress coping savings account. Now, we make deposits into our stress coping savings account every night when we go into deep restorative sleep. So when you get deep restorative sleep, you start filling up your stress coping savings account. You start making deposits of serotonin and dopamine and norepinephrine and magnesium and these certain chemicals that you need to be able to deal with stress. Unfortunately, though, for many people with fibromyalgia, they've had years and years and years of stress, and because of that, they're so run down that they depleted or even bankrupt or even was over withdrawn their stress coping savings chemicals, and so they don't have any chemicals. And so when they get up the next day and they've not slept, and it could be that they're taking sleep medications that don't put them into deep restorative sleep, like the benzodiazepines, the Klonopin, Ativan, Xanax, Restoril, they're taking those medications, then they find out that they're not making deposits into their stress coping savings account. They don't feel refreshed. And so they wake up the next day and they're vulnerable to any type of stress. And you probably know this to be the case, that the longer you've had this illness, the longer you've been run down, the more likely that stressors are more magnified, changes in weather, traffic jams, loud noises, bright lights. Even the thought of getting outside and going to the grocery store for some of you is something you can't imagine doing, because stress is so magnified, some of you can't even get out of bed, much less get out of bed, get a shower, get dressed, go to the store and deal with other people, all the things that people who don't have fibromyalgia take for granted. For you, that's a Herculean task. I totally understand that. But that's caused by you getting so run down and depleting your stress coping chemicals. And the number one effect of that is this low energy, this incredibly low energy, both mentally, where it's exhausting to even try to plan anything, much less actually do something. You're exhausted physically and mentally, and you don't have these stress coping chemicals, so when you get under stress, it causes you to have even more stress because you can't deal with it, which then leads to what? More stress, which leads to more stress and more stress and less energy and less energy and less energy and less energy. And this goes on day after day after day after day until finally you develop a thing that we're going to talk about here in just a minute called adrenal fatigue. But deep restorative sleep is key, because if you're not getting deep restorative sleep, you're not making deposits into your stress coping savings account. You're not filling up that account with a very crucial hormone, the happy hormone serotonin. Now, serotonin is very important for fibromyalgia. If you've got fibromyalgia, you're deficient in serotonin. That's just the way it is. There's no gray to that. It's black and white. If you're truly have fibromyalgia, you're low in serotonin, and you've got to build that up. The higher your serotonin level, the lower your substance P. Serotonin, the brain chemical serotonin, blocks substance P, so it raises your pain threshold, so pain is less magnified. What happens is when you get under stress over the years, you find that your stress coping chemicals are depleted, including serotonin, and you find that pain becomes more magnified. So over the years, you might start out some achy muscle pain in your shoulders, and then it was your neck, and then it was down in your chest. You got some costochondritis, and then it was in your arms and your legs, and now it's in your feet. I mean, you get up in the morning, you put your feet on the ground, and you have incredible feet pain. Now, what is that? That can't be normal, right? But what that is, that's a low pain threshold because you're so low in the stress coping chemicals, including serotonin. The higher your serotonin level, the higher your pain threshold, so less pain you have. The higher your serotonin level, the less anxious you are, happy you are, less likely you are to have irritable bowel. You have more serotonin receptors in your intestinal tract than you do in your brain. So when you get under stress, you get butterflies in your stomach. That leads to depleting your serotonin level in your stomach, which then causes you to have problems with irritable bowel. And you know that if you do have irritable bowel, the more stress you get under, the more likely you are to have a flare-up. So this all goes together. When you're not getting that deep restorative sleep, there's no wonder you're going to be exhausted. That's just the way it's going to be. So you've got to get deep restorative sleep. Now, one of the things that will happen is if you go to your conventional medical doctor, they're going to say, oh, you're just depressed, right? They tell you that. And they say, why don't we put you on antidepressant? So we'll put you on Savella or Cymbalta, because that's supposed to have a pain-blocking effect when it helps you fibromyalgia. Well, maybe it does, at least initially for some of you, but most people really doesn't do anything. You take the medication, and what happens with that is it's supposed to help you reuptake serotonin and norepinephrine, the two feel-good chemicals, and they help block pain, as I just mentioned. The problem is they don't make serotonin and norepinephrine. They're only there to help you hang on to what you have. But if you've been run down for years, which you have, because what fibromyalgia does to you, then you don't have anything to reuptake. If you're taking a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor and there's nothing to reuptake because your brain is empty of it, what's that medicine going to do? Nothing. It's like using a gasoline additive in an empty gasoline tank. They're running on fumes. So if you use a gasoline additive in an empty gasoline tank, it's not going to do much, right? And that's what we see with these antidepressants. In fact, 70% of the time, and over half the studies show this, is that an SSRI antidepressant medication is no better than a sugar pill. And we also know that these medications have potential side effects, including, believe it or not, this is kind of ironic, but these antidepressants can cause you to be depressed. They cause you to have anxiety, headaches, muscle pain, chest pain, nervousness, sleeplessness, insomnia. They cause you to deplete your own natural sleep hormone, melatonin. They can cause you to feel fatigue, have weakness, changes in your sex drive, tremors, dry mouth, irritated stomach, bloating, gas. IBS. They can cause you to have weight gain, diarrhea, hair loss, chest. The list goes on and on. Now, does that mean that you have these side effects? Maybe not, but how do you know, right? Because for many of you, you're on so many medications, you don't know, and you feel so bad. I understand that. Most people don't understand. They say, oh, you look okay, right? But you feel terrible. But how do you know if some of the medications you're taking are not part of your problem? They probably are. That's what I find with my patients. Now, I'm not telling you to stop your medications. Don't do that. It'd be a disaster. You need to find a doctor to work with, someone who practices like I do, that can help you start to get healthy. And as you start to feel better, as my patients do, which happens rather quickly, then and only then when I start to wean them off their medications and see if they need them. And most of the time they don't. They're cleaning pain meds and Lyrica and gabapentin and pregabalin and Mirapex and all those medications that people are put on. Most of the time my patients are able to get off those medications because we are helping them find and fix the underlying causes of their symptoms. We're not just trying to cover them up with prescription medications. So what I want you to know is that deep restorative sleep, as I mentioned earlier, is crucial. And in my book, I go into much, much more detail. But here's what I want you to realize is that if you're taking sleep medications, prescription medications, that you are oftentimes not getting into deep restorative sleep. You're not going to fill up your stress coping savings account. You're really never going to have the opportunity to feel good like you should. Those medications I mentioned earlier have potential side effects, and many of you are experiencing those side effects, but you feel so bad anyway, you don't even know it. I'm not telling you to stop those medications, but what I'm suggesting to you is there's other options. One of those is that you can take an over-the-counter amino acid called 5-hydroxytryptophan. I go into a tremendous amount of detail in my book about that. And the book's available on Amazon.com. The book is Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. But in the book, in a chapter on sleep, I talk about how to use 5-hydroxytryptophan. You want to use it at bedtime. You start with 100 milligrams. You take it on an empty stomach with a little bit of grape juice. The grape juice helps it get past the blood-brain barrier and get into your brain so that you absorb it quicker. Take 1 ounce mixed with about 4 to 7 ounces of water. Now, what you should see is within about 30 minutes, you're able to fall asleep and you sleep through the night. If 100 milligrams doesn't work, the next night you go 200. Next night, if you need to, you go 300. But what you should see when you get up to anywhere from 100 to 300 milligrams of 5-HTP at bedtime, you should see that it helps you fall asleep and you sleep through the night. If it doesn't, then you start to add melatonin, and we start with 3 milligrams and go up to 10. It has other tricks and things, and it doesn't work for everybody because everybody's complicated. We're all different, right? But this will work for a lot of people. Now, there's other issues that have to be sought out, and some detective work has to be done a lot of times. That's why I work with patients one-on-one by phone consult because, yeah, this can work, and it does work, but there's probably some other issues that have to be addressed as well. However, if you'll do this, you'll see that many times this will really help you get into a deeper sleep, and you're going to feel better just in this. Now, what you need to realize is that sleep medications, I hadn't mentioned that, and this is very important, is that the studies now show that sleep medications increase your risk of death by all causes. Heart attack, stroke, cancers, all causes. And the risk of taking sleep medication is the same as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. So it's not something you'd want to do if you can not do it, right, obviously. So I encourage you to learn more about my sleep protocols in my book, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. I encourage you you've got to get that deep restorative sleep. Now, the next thing, what you find is after years of poor sleep, and many of you, even though you're taking Ambien and these other medications, you don't feel refreshed the next day. I mean, most of you feel hungover, it takes you an hour or 2 hours. Some of you don't even get out of bed because you're so run down. You feel so bad. But for many of you, it may take an hour or two to even be able to get your thoughts together. And for many of you, that doesn't mean that means just to be able to get up and do something. Maybe to be able to get up and read the paper or turn the coffee machine or whatever it is. That's how run down you are. But if you start working on your sleep, you're going to see that's going to improve. But what's happened over the years, because you depleted the stress coping chemicals over the years and you hadn't slept, you hadn't gotten deep restorative sleep, probably taking medications are actually causing more problems. Now you start to affect your stress coping glands, your adrenal glands. And the adrenal glands release certain hormones that allow us to have energy, both mentally and physically. And so I find that most every fibromyalgia patient that I work with, and that's all I work with at this point, it's all I've worked with for almost 19 years now, is fibromyalgia patients. And in the fibromyalgia patient makeup, what we see is they have adrenal fatigue. Now, your adrenal glands are your stress coping glands. So you have a stress coping savings account, but you also have stress coping glands that are responsible for releasing certain hormones when you get under stress. They release these hormones to allow you to have more stamina, more resilience to stress, so stress is not so magnified. You can tolerate it. But for many of you, what you find is changes in weather will set you off, set you into a fibro flare. God forbid you get a phone call from Aunt Betty at 8:30 at night, and it's some bad news because you won't sleep for days. Any type of stress now is magnified, and that's because your stress coping glands, or adrenal glands, have gotten under too much stress. You see, your adrenal glands, they produce a variety of hormones that are essential for optimal health, for you to even be able to live. And if you get under acute short-term stress, you can handle that, but long-term chronic stress starts to compromise the function of these glands, and you develop a condition called adrenal fatigue syndrome. Now, adrenal fatigue syndrome is associated with low blood sugar, low blood pressure, orthostatic hypotension, where you go from lying down or sitting, even sitting, some of you, and you stand up and you get dizzy. Mental, physical fatigue—the kind of fatigue where you just lost you've lost your mojo. You know, you get up and go, it's got up and went. It's gone. There's no drive. There's no zest. There's no zip. There's no ambition. It's just gone. And you could have been a type A. You could have been a doer, a go-go-go-goer. And now you find that, you don't really care if you get off the couch or not. And that's not to pass judgment on anybody with fibro. It's just to share, I know exactly what you're going through. But hey, what I'm sharing with you is there's some options other than learning to live with it and take a bunch of life-robbing, life-zapping drugs that will do nothing for you other than shorten your lifespan, at least long-term. So you need to realize that you start to affect your adrenal glands when you get under too much stress for a long period of time. And when you have adrenal fatigue, it can lead to, a lot of times you'll feel nausea first thing in the morning when you wake up. You might have some abdominal pain, diarrhea. Stiff, achy muscles is a big one. I mean, that's what we see in fibro, right? But when you have adrenal fatigue, you also see it. You can see excess skin color changes where you get hyperpigmentation. You can lose your hair, your scalp hair. You can get changes in your skin color, as I mentioned, and you can get GI disturbances, problems of mental acuity issue, low body temperature, low metabolism so that you start to gain weight. Your immune system can become compromised so that you catch a lot of colds, flus, sinus infections, that kind of thing. And then a lot of times you just feel just so lethargic, you feel depressed. Again, because your get up and go is got up and went. And so the adrenal cortex is associated with chronic stress, and that's really what we're talking about. And the hormones of the cortex, the main one that really helps to have that stamina and resiliency, help with pain and energy and the things that we're talking about here, is cortisol. Now the cortex, this part of the adrenal gland, it produces cortisone, cortisol, testosterone, estrogen, DHEA, pregnenolone, aldosterone, androstenedione, and progesterone. So it's very, very important. But when it gets under a lot of stress, it stops working like it should. And then you start to have problems with these hormones. But cortisol, really probably the most important hormone here for tonight's conversation, talking about energy, it's crucial to allow you to have resistance and stamina to stress. It helps maintain your blood pressure, your cardiac function. It regulates your insulin and blood sugar. It helps to reduce inflammation. It helps your metabolism. And it controls your circadian rhythm, your sleep-wake cycle. So when your cortisol level gets low and you start to have problems with your sleep, you throw your natural sleep-wake cycle out. So you find it's harder and harder to get to sleep at night. So instead of used to be wind down and go to sleep at 10 p.m., now you're up at 1 o'clock. And what's worse, a lot of you will take naps during the day because you're so exhausted, you just can't stay up. It's one of the worst things you can do. And now 20-minute naps, fine, a cat nap, but not a two-hour nap in the middle of the day, because then that affects your circadian natural sleep-wake cycle and it throws off your sleep pattern and your cortisol levels, your stress-coping hormone, adrenal glands. So that leads to less energy. And this happens over and over and over again, and you get further and further off kilter, and it creates more and more problems. So we need to know that kind of what happens with adrenal fatigue is called a general adaptation syndrome. So there's three phases to this syndrome. It's really important. The first phase is called the flight or fight response, and it's the initial alarm reaction to where a gland in the brain called the pituitary releases ACTH. And then that causes adrenaline, which is, stimulant, and cortisol to be released from the adrenal glands. Now, that then causes you to be able to run if you need to run or fight or do whatever you need to do in that moment. It's a very short window there of time. Now, when you get into the resistance reaction, this is more long-term stress. 60-hour work weeks that finally catch up with you. Years and years of taking care of a special needs child and not getting enough sleep. Being on call and having to take care of an elderly parent that finally, just gets to you. But this is a stress, a chronic stress, and cortisol is the main player here. And this resistance reaction, if it continues, the body can keep up with this for periods of time. Some people thrive on this. But if you're not careful, eventually what happens, you go into exhaustion. That's the third phase. And once you go into this third phase, adrenal exhaustion, now you start to see all the problems that we see in fibromyalgia, low energy, mentally and physically, mood disorders, lethargy, no stamina to stress, so that it's magnified. It's, loud noises almost drive you up the wall. The thought of walking into a Walmart literally causes you to go into a panic because you can't even comprehend the thought of doing something that normally would have been no big deal maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was. Now, how can you, one of the things you want to do to test your adrenal function, this is kind of a crude test, and I talk about it in the book. There's a chapter in my book, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, and I go into much more detail about this. But this is some good clinical stuff you can take right now and you can use. So there's a lot more to this, but know that if you just get this tonight and that whets your appetite, you're going to want to learn more. But this right here will get you on your way. If you get these concepts, you're going to be on the right track for finally feeling good again. And I say that, I've been doing this 19 years, and I know that the only way to feel good again, and more importantly, just feeling good again, because, some of you have a day where you feel good, right? But then what happens? You overdo it and you crash, and then you're in bed for 3 days, right? You know why that happens? Because of this adrenal fatigue. If you don't have resistance or stamina to stress, if you do have a good day, one of those rare days, and you do overdo it, which most of you do because you don't know, is this going to be another good day? Am I going to have one or not? I haven't been able to make plans with anybody in years because I don't know, is this going to be a good day or a bad day? But this is a good day. I'm going to go do grocery shopping. I'm going to go Christmas shopping, whatever it is. And you do, and then the next day you pay for it. And maybe the next two or three days for some of you, you pay for it. So what you need to realize is you got to fix this adrenal fatigue so you can get this deep restorative sleep thing going, which is you have to do that. Second, though, you got to get this fix the adrenal fatigue. So one way to do that is to take adrenal cortex supplements. And in my practice, I use especially adrenal glandular cortex supplement made for me, so it is a product. It is my product, and I had it made for me because it's one of the highest dose adrenal cortex products out there. There's others that are out there, but they're very low dose, and I didn't want my patients to have to take, you know, 20 of these. It was going to be very expensive. Now, there is some other companies out there who make it, but it's about four times the cost of mine. And ARG, Allergy Research Group, makes adrenal cortex that's $80 a bottle. Mine is 22, I think, or 24, something like that. And that adrenal cortex, though, comes from cows. So it comes from New Zealand, grass-fed cows. There's never been a case of mad cow disease there. Cows don't get mad cow disease from eating grass. They get it from eating other cows. That's how mad cow disease started, because they put diseased cattle parts into the feed for these cattle, and they developed mad cow disease because cows are not cannibals. You know, basically made them into cannibals. So anyway, the product that comes to me for the Essential Therapeutics Adrenal Cortex product is an incredibly pure product that I've been using for the last almost 15 years now. So what you want to be careful of is you don't want to take whole glandular adrenal. If you do that, that's going to backfire on you, because whole glandular adrenal, which you'll see if you go into Amazon or whatever, you'll see all these different ones. But if you take the whole glandular adrenal, that's going to rev up your norepinephrine level, your adrenaline level. Now, that may sound like that's what you want to do. It's not. That's going to further stress your adrenal glands and deplete your stress coping savings account. Now, there's a time for that later on. But initially, you need to start with just the adrenal cortex, not the whole glandular. It has to say adrenal cortex. And that's what it should have on there, nothing else. If you try to take something else, it's going to backfire, so I warned you about that. You can learn more about the adrenal cortex products on my website, yourfibrodoctor.com. There's a store there, so you can. I'm not going to go into more detail about that. You can read about it. I'm just warning you, don't take whole glandular adrenal products. Now, here's how you can test for adrenal fatigue at home. There's more sophisticated tests that I use just to help me to really zero in on the right dosages and when to take it and how to take it and how to reset the sleep-wake cycle. But here's a very simple test that you could do at home. That is, if you have a blood pressure cuff, you can take your blood pressure lying down, and then you can stand up and take your blood pressure again within 30 seconds. Now, make sure your arm is perpendicular, so it's out front, okay? You stand it out front of you, going away from the body, and it's at heart level. You know, use your left arm. If your blood pressure goes down, a systolic number, a top number goes down, you have adrenal fatigue. Now, there's another way you can test for it. I talk about it in the book. It's a pupil dilation test where you go in the bathroom and turn the light off and you shine a pin light into one eye, and that eye should stay dilated. If it doesn't dilate, it closes within 30 seconds, constricts, and I go into detail about how to do that test in the book, then you have adrenal fatigue. And that's when you want to start taking the adrenal cortex. Now, there's other things you can take that I talk about. Vitamin C helps to recycle adrenal hormones. Licorice root helps to boost, to make more cortisol. And you can see that in the book. Pantothenic acid, B5, it's the anti-stress vitamin. That's helpful. So those things you can read more about. But initially, when I'm working with my patients, I start them on adrenal cortex, and what they find is they start to have more stamina and resiliency to stress. So the adrenal cortex and the adrenal glands, super, super important, okay? So we talked about sleep. We talked about the adrenal glands, how important those are. And next, there's all kinds of things that we can talk about that would help your energy, all kinds of things. Getting your neurotransmitters corrected, you're deficient in certain neurotransmitter brain chemicals like norepinephrine. You're deficient in certain vitamins that would help you have more energy. You're certain essential fatty acids that you're not getting in your diet or you're not using. Losing weight if you need to lose weight. It actually raises your metabolism. There's all kinds of things. And I talk about all those in the book. And you should learn. You should read about all those, and you should know about all those, and you should see if you can put those protocols into place. And if you can't, then you can set up a phone consult with me. So, I work with patients all over the world, and patients will try these things, and they may get so far, and then they realize they need some help. It's too complicated. Some people do these things. They do great, and they don't need a consult. Other people don't even want to start these things because they think, oh, my gosh, this is way over my head, and I need some coaching right out of the bat. Either way, whatever that is, we're here to help you at the clinic. If you go to the website, yourfibrodoctor.com, you'll see all kind of resources in there, free videos. But if you've got a question, if it's just a question, if we can help you, we want you to call us and we'll help you. No one's going to try to sell you anything. You're not going to have anybody try to do anything other than listen and see if we can be helpful. If we think that you need to try, if you need to try something that we talk about in the book, we'll guide you through that, or if you got questions. If we think you would benefit from a consult, you're at the point kind of where you need a consult, they might, they'll mention that and see if that's something you're interested in. But no one's going to twist your arm or make you do anything you don't want to do. We're there to help you. And you can find the phone number on the website. But you can find information about the store on the website. You can find the information about the book on the website. You can find the information about how to do a phone consult on the website, yourfibrodoctor.com. And so I encourage you, check that site out. The third thing I want to talk to you about tonight, really important, is your thyroid. And this is important because so many people with fibromyalgia have a problem with their thyroid, but they're told their thyroid is normal. They're told their blood work is normal. And I would say in my practice, probably 65%, it could be as high as 70% of the patients that I work with have something wrong with their thyroid. And they've been to multiple doctors, and they've all told them that their tests were normal. But when I do the tests, and I'm going to share those with you tonight, so again, make sure you write this down because you don't want to know this. But there's special testing that I do. I do all sorts of special testing that you never get done, should get done, but you don't, that allows me to be able to find and fix the underlying causes of your symptoms. You see, fibromyalgia is just a name. It doesn't cause anything. Fibromyalgia is a group of symptoms that people have in common that we call fibromyalgia. But it doesn't cause anything. What we want to know is what's the cause of your low energy. Well, I'm sharing that with you tonight. But fibromyalgia didn't cause you to have poor sleep. Fibromyalgia doesn't cause you to have adrenal fatigue. Fibromyalgia doesn't cause you to have a problem with your thyroid. But if we can find these things and we can fix them, now we can fix the underlying cause of your symptom rather than just say, oh, well, you're tired because you got fibromyalgia. Let me give you some Ritalin, or let me give you some Provigil or some Wellbutrin. That doesn't do anything. That only makes things worse long term. Let's find and fix why your energy's low. So when I do the testing, I'll pick these things up. It could be you have a low ferritin level, so your iron's low. They've never tested it. They say, oh, yeah, your iron looks good. Well, you know what? They're doing basic testing, right? So you want to really listen because your thyroid could be a problem. And here's the thing about your thyroid. It controls every cell in your body. So it controls every function in your body. And if it's not working correctly, even if it's off by 20, 30, 40%, you're going to have symptoms, whether that's fatigue, which is the number one effect, you see, headaches, migraines, PMS, high cholesterol, cold hands, cold feet, changes in pigmentation, irritability, fluid retention, swelling, dry hair, dry skin, irregular periods, frequent colds, sore throats, low blood pressure, severe menstrual cramps, unhealthy nails, constipation, irritable bowel, weight gain, low motivation, anxiety, depression. And the list goes on and on. Now, why is that? Because, again, your thyroid controls every cell in the body. It controls every system in the body. And when it slows down, every cell slows down. Every system slows down, including your energy and brain function and your digestion and your elimination, all those things start to slow down, and that's what you experience with this fatigue. So obviously, if you've got something wrong with your thyroid and it can cause all these symptoms, wouldn't it be worthwhile to maybe do some more advanced thorough testing than just checking your TSH? I would think so. So I learned early on when I started working with fibromyalgia patients that most fibromyalgia patients got the diagnosis and all their symptoms were swept underneath the fibromyalgia rug, and they were told, well, your pain, your low energy, your poor sleep, your irritable bowel, restless leg syndrome is all because of fibromyalgia. Here's some drugs. Learn to live with it. Well, I learned that if I did some more thorough testing, I could actually find what was going on, and I'd have the opportunity to fix the underlying causes of these symptoms. So here's what you need to know. Blood tests for thyroid function are often inaccurate. You need to know that, number one. Blood tests for thyroid measure the amount of thyroid stimulating hormone, or TSH, and that's normally all they check. Sometimes they'll do a total T4, but usually it's a TSH. But these tests only measure how much thyroid hormone's in the bloodstream. That makes sense, right? You draw the blood, you see how much of the hormone's in the bloodstream. But thyroid hormones don't do anything in the bloodstream. The action takes place in the cells. And there's no way to measure how much thyroid hormone is in the cell. We only know how much is in the bloodstream. So it's really a guess. We don't know. We take the averages. And what's an average, by the way? Well, we'll take a city like Birmingham, Alabama, and we'll take the average of all the people who come in over a period of so many years, and we'll look at what the average TSH is. So the TSH, I'm just throwing a number out there, the normal TSH is 3. And so if it's 3, that's average. So everybody comes in that's over 3 is hypothyroid. Everybody comes in below could be low thyroid, and too much thyroid. I'll explain that in more detail in just a minute. But just get the big idea that we're looking at an average of people that come in. Now, these are quote, unquote, regular, healthy people. Now, we'll just think about 10 people that come to mind. Of those 10 people, how many of them are taking medications? How many of them are overweight, have health issues? There is no average. Everybody's different. We're as different on the inside as we're on the outside. And yet we're taking a test, and we're trying to pigeonhole everybody into this number, saying that if you fall into this category, you're normal. That's ludicrous. That's ludicrous. Well, so here's another thing you need to realize. There's some different hormones. When we start talking about thyroid hormones, it's plural. There's more than just the TSH. So one of the hormones called T4, it has to convert. It has to change in to a more active thyroid hormone called T3. T3 is 4 times stronger than T4. And the T4 has to change into T3 for the optimum metabolic function. What does metabolic mean? Energy. Cellular energy, to be able to do things, to be able to have chemical reactions, to have mental clarity, to get out of bed, to be able to do things, to be able to process your food, lose weight, to be able to have a normal menstrual cycle. That's energy. It takes energy. But when T4 is not converting into the active T3, you have a problem. And what happens is, when you get under a lot of stress, you have another hormone that's called reverse T3 that starts to go up. Now, guess what reverse T3 does? It blocks the conversion of T4 and T3. Now, who with fibromyalgia doesn't have stress? Do you know anybody with fibromyalgia that doesn't have stress? In fact, you know anybody that has stress, but particularly somebody with fibromyalgia who doesn't sleep, has bankrupted their stress coping chemicals, and has adrenal fatigue. So stress is magnified. So then they have more stress, which is even more magnified, and they have more stress, and they have more stress. So many people with fibromyalgia are not able to convert their T4 to the active T3, and their thyroid function is compromised. To make it worse, patients often are on T4 medication. They go to their doctor, and they have all the symptoms of thyroid still, but the doctor runs a test and says, oh, your TSH is good. I know, doctor, but I've been on this same dose for 5 years, and I feel any different. I know, but your blood work looks good. Your TSH is normal. Well, they're not running a reverse T3. Doctors don't do that. Conventional doctors don't do that. Now, doctors who practice like I do, functional medicine, they do. And when I run reverse T3 for my patients, I often see, yeah, they're taking Synthroid or levothyroxine, which is a synthetic T4 medication, and it's not converting into active T3, so they never feel better. They still have symptoms of low thyroid, low energy, the fatigue, the weight gain, mental clarity issues, anxiety, depression, all those things we see in low thyroid. But they're not being tested correctly. Now, here's another thing you need to realize. You might want to write these numbers down. In the past, those with a TSH, a thyroid stimulating hormone, above 5.0 were considered hypothyroid, meaning low thyroid. However, many doctors wouldn't prescribe thyroid hormone until the TSH was above 10. That's, to me, medical malpractice. But that was the case. They were so conservative about putting people on thyroid hormone because they were scared that it would give you problems with your metabolism, that it would be too much for your heart. Now, what we've realized is if you're not getting enough thyroid, it can compromise your heart. In 2004, the American Association of Clinical Endocrinology hormone specialists changed the guidelines so that a TSH above 3.04 is now considered positive for low thyroid function. Well, it's now, 12 years later, and obviously doctors and labs didn't get the memo. So if you go to your lab now, they dropped it down to 4.5 or 4.2. But they don't have it down to 3.04. So if you go get your blood and your TSH comes back at 3.5, they're going to tell you, oh, it's normal. Don't worry about it. You're good. Everything's good. I know, but my hair's falling out. I have dry skin. I can't get out of bed. I'm constipated. I have high cholesterol, anxiety. I'm depressed, terrible PMS, suffer from infertility issues. I know, but your thyroid's okay. It's got to be something else. Just know that your TSH, if it's above 3.04, you're hypothyroid. Now, other things that you should know about is you have a condition called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune disease where the body actually attacks the thyroid tissue, and that can compromise the thyroid function. And when that happens, it can take 5, 10, 15 years before it ever shows up on regular blood work. So doctors miss that. So you have all the symptoms of low thyroid for years, including the low energy. And then, 15 years later, finally, your TSH goes up above 4.5 and they put you on thyroid medication and you start to feel better. But you've suffered with this thing for 15 years. If they'd just done the more thorough testing, if they'd just taken the time to do the detective work to really see if there was something going on, then they could have caught this years ago. But doctors won't do that, mainly because they don't have anything to treat this condition until your thyroid burns out, and then they'll put you on synthetic thyroid medication. Fortunately, doctors who practice like I do, we know how to treat it early on. We can treat it before the thyroid is burned out. We can actually help to reverse that autoimmune disease and get the thyroid to work correctly. So now what I see in my practice is patients who need to lose 40 pounds, They haven't been able to lose weight. In fact, they just smell food. They gain weight no matter what they do. They starve themselves. Once I start to fix the thyroid, they lose 40 pounds. Comes off half a pound a day in one of the diets that I have my patients use. So what you want to do is make sure your doctor is doing thorough testing. And so I would encourage you to get a TSH, a free and total T4, T3, to get a reverse T3, to get a T3 uptake, to get thyroid antibodies checked. You want to get all these checked. And if they're abnormal, that's telling you something's off in your thyroid. There's protocols in my book that can help you with that. Now, I will be candid with you. It's going to be hard to find a doctor that will help you with that. So that's what a phone consult's for with me. Because most doctors in the conventional world, they're not even going to know what the heck we're talking about. An endocrinologist may know, but he and she are going to be so conservative about it, they're just going to say, we're going to watch it. Well, watch it do what? Watch the patient get sicker and sicker and sicker till finally the thyroid burns out? No thanks. That's not what I do for my patients. But I would encourage you to get this information out of my book and then start to play with it. See if you can get your doctor to run these labs or see if it makes sense to you. And it could be that you do need a phone consult. And again, you can learn more about the consult process at yourfiberdoctor.com. So I've shared a tremendous amount of meat and potatoes with you tonight. I hope that you found this information helpful. There's a lot here tonight, and so I appreciate you being on here. And we don't have a lot of time tonight. I don't. So I'm going to just open up the call here.
Hello?
So if you've got a question, you need to hit *6. That will bring you online live, and I'll take your question.
Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead. Your name? What's your name?
My name is Shelly, and I have fibro.
Hi,
and I just want to know, hi, how can I get rid of the cramps in the back of my calves?
Well, typically that's going to be a magnesium deficiency. So magnesium is a natural muscle relaxer. Magnesium is also part of the stress coping savings chemicals that you need. The more stress that you get under, the more magnesium you use up. That's why you see an athlete out on a hot day starts to cramp up. It's because they're depleting those, you know, through the stress, the physical stress in their case. In your case, it's, you know, a combination of things. But magnesium is the quickest way to get rid of those cramps. So you want to start off with, you know, 200 milligrams of magnesium citrate or chelate, which is a special form of magnesium that's easy on the stomach. You absorb it really well. And then you build up each day until to bowel tolerance. Now, magnesium is a natural muscle relaxer. It also relaxes your colon. So if you take too much magnesium, you're going to get a loose bowel movement. And when you get a loose bowel movement, you reduce the dose.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the question. Okay. So if you got a question, if you'll hit *6, that'll bring you on the line. Eva. So I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I want to encourage you, if you've not got the book, that's the place to start. It's a tome, and it's 564 pages. I don't expect you to read it all. But what I do expect is for you to be proactive. If what I've shared with you tonight had some value, the next thing you want to do is be proactive. You want to go to the website tonight, yourfibrodoctor.com. You want to look at all the resources on there.
information, articles, free videos. You want to go ahead and get the book. And this is not to sell you a book. It's not to sell you, but $20-some or whatever it is. It's not to make $20. But if you don't read the book, you don't know if I'm right for you. You know, is this the path you're supposed to be on? I really believe in synchronicity. And for many of you, you pray that you'll find a doctor that will help you. And every day I pray that I'm going to find the right people that I can help. So if we're meant to be together, then you got to be proactive and you need to look through the book and make sure it makes sense to you. For some of you, it's going to be way over your head. For some of you, you're going to eat it up like cotton candy and you're going to get on the protocols and you're going to do great. For others, though, you're going to start reading in that book and you're going to think, oh, my God, where do I start? What do I do? That's when you call the clinic. They'll be happy to share, help you get through this information. And some of you are just at the point, though, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you got to do something. I can't do it for you. There's so much doom and gloom out there about you just have to learn to live with it. You can never feel good. Why try? I've tried everything. I'm having success. That's all I can say. Is if you go to my website, you see testimonial after testimony after testimony after testimony. So I don't have all the answers. I don't. Here's what I do know. I do know that I'm having consistent success working with my patients who work with me one-on-one. That means consults, doing consults with me, not just taking my supplements. Oh, that's a place to start if you want to do that, to put your toe in the water. But the people that are working with me one-on-one are getting healthy. And that's really the only way to overcome fibromyalgia. And you can. Don't let people say, oh, you can't. I hear all this garbage. And if you buy into that, you're doomed. Because if you buy into that at the age of 30, where are you going to be for the next 50 years? Learning to live with it? Or if you buy into that when you're 60, where are you going to be for the next 25 years? Just learning to live with it? I don't get it. Why would you let anybody tell you that, brainwash you that? I mean, if you've got a brain, and I know you do, think for yourself. You're obviously proactive enough to come on the phone tonight, take an hour out of your day to listen to what I had to share. And if what I had to share with you starts to make sense, you got to do something. You got to do something next. You got to keep this momentum going. And that would be to go to the website tonight, look at it. Just go through it. Take some time. Look at it. Look at the articles. Look at the videos. What's this guy sharing? What is it? How can I be helped? Take the free stuff and use it. Get the book. Start reading the protocols in the book. Try some of the protocols in the book. And then if you need to, set up a phone consult. And again, you can learn about the phone consults. Or if you live nearby, you want to come to Birmingham, certainly do that. We have a clinic. You certainly could come to Birmingham. But you got to do something. Nothing's going to change unless you change it, unless you take action. You've got to do something different than what you're doing now. Otherwise, 5 years are going to go by, and you're going to be right where you're at now, wondering if you're going to be able to make it through Thanksgiving dinner. Are you going to be how sore, how exhausted are you going to be after Thanksgiving? If you can even socialize for Thanksgiving. That's not living, that's existing. Don't do that. So I'll leave you with this, that I really believe most people who have fibromyalgia have an opportunity to feel tremendously better. Not everybody. Some people are too far gone. But that's probably not you. And you can read the testimonials, and you can see people that I helped that were in bed for a year or two that now are hiking mountains. People who are able to go back to work. People are able to just garden again, who were housebound, couldn't even go outside. Now, that's not to beat my own drum. But I have to share that with you to give you some hope, because many of you are so hopeless that you won't do anything. You won't take any action. Unless you think maybe, just maybe, you could be helped too. Because I've helped people probably
sicker than you are. So go to the website, yourfibrodoctor.com, and I look forward to your questions each and every Tuesday night. Same call-in number, same access code. I'll be here every Tuesday. If you've got a question, tonight we went long and I didn't have a lot of space there, and it's a holiday week, so family here in town. But I will be here every Tuesday night, and I encourage you to join me every Tuesday night. And the clinic and I are here to help you. We want to help you any way we can. Thanks for joining me. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, yourfibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome.